Hello and welcome to Simply Save, the personal finance podcast by Money Control. This podcast is brought to you by HDFC Mutual Fund. You're listening to Season 3 and I'm Kaizad Adajania. This season is all about aspirations. If the rich and successful investor can do it, then we're here to tell you that so can you. So far, we've talked about good habits of the rich investors like investing regularly, starting early, planning, keeping your goals in mind, not getting scared about debt funds, even keeping their house in order by doing succession planning. But there is one more thing that many rich and successful investors have done. You get to read about it all the time. I'm talking about giving. It's not just important to start, always think about making money. Giving is also important. It's important to also light someone else's house, bring joy to someone else's life, help them in their hour of need. But the biggest fear we'll all have is this, that will my money go in the right hands? What if somehow we could institutionalize the whole process so that the large sums of money can be collected, money gets properly invested, and then ultimately reaches to the right person? HDFC Mutual Fund has one such scheme called HDFC Charity Fund for Cancer Cure. This fund also aims to channelize the income earned by you, the investor, to the Indian Cancer Society for the treatment of people suffering from cancer. This is not a money-making idea. Although, yes, your fund could be earning returns for you, but as I said, it's designed in a way that you can donate your income for cancer care. I'm going to talk to Milind Barve, who is the Managing Director of HDFC Mutual Fund, who will tell us a little bit more about how we as investors, big or small, can make some contribution to the society, give back something, especially to those who are needy. Many rich and successful investors have made contributions, but the small retail investors, people like us, can also do this and in a structured way that ensures that money goes to the right person. Hi, Milind, and welcome to the show.
Hello, and thank you for having me.
So, Milind, start by telling us, how did this idea come about?
So this idea really goes back to 2010, when we were completing the first decade or 10 years of our being in business. We started in 2000. And we were thinking about how should we commemorate this occasion, and we thought of what could we do a little different from, other than having a usual a big party or some event like that. And we thought, let us do something which is more about, as you said, giving, more about something different and something that is helps somebody else and not something which is meant only to glorify our own work. And I think so the idea first emanated from having a product which was aimed at philanthropy.
Okay.
In the context of this sort of pursuit, in pursuit of this objective, we had the opportunity to meet with members from the Indian Cancer Society. The Indian Cancer Society has been doing a lot of good work. And one of the things that we learned from them was that in any good work that an institution or an NGO does, one of the biggest challenges it faces is about not just finances, but the sustainability of finance over long periods of time. And very often there are NGOs who live from hand to mouth. They go door to door, so to say, for donations. They get what they get, and then they go and spend it for a good cause. And then next year they're back with asking for more donations. Yeah. So basically they are not sure of what they are going to get the following year, and they are not so, therefore not able to plan what they should be doing in terms of their philanthropic objectives in the following years. So sustainability of financial help for any good cause is as important as the money itself.
Okay.
And I think that is the thought that we came back with talking to people from Indian Cancer Society. And when we sort of racked our brains on how can we and what role could people like us do? Now, we are indeed blessed, Kaizad, by the fact that we are all the time dealing with people who are customers, are investing money that is surplus with them, and they have money to invest.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a very unique position to be in.
Okay.
And I think we are all the time talking to customers about various types of equity funds and the potential of returns they generate and so on and so forth. But rarely have you ever spoken to them about the opportunity that a fund can also be used to give that money or give the earnings or from the fund for a philanthropic cause.
Okay.
One of the things that we found that mutual fund fits well with the objective of raising sustainable funds for a good cause is that if you create a closed-ended fund, which could be 3, 5, or even ideally 10 years, then the annual income will create a certainty about the donation that the institution can get. Okay. Now, 5 and 10 years looked very difficult to sell to our mind at that time and even now. Mm. So we thought that we will launch a three-year closed-ended fund, which will create a corpus for at least a three-year period, where the income that this fund generates in the three-year period, that income will go as a donation to the Indian Cancer Society in the name of the investor, not in our name. And the principal amount invested will remain intact, because we would invest typically in AAA investments. So that principal invested will be returned back to the investor, and the investor effectively forgoes the income he would have earned. And in this way, the corpus remains intact. The customer, the investor, is not parting with the amount he's invested. He's parting with only the income he would have earned. And most importantly, it assures income to, or the donation to, the Indian Cancer Society for a minimum period of 3 years.
Yeah. So you're not just arranging for the money. It's not like a one-time kind of
thing. It's not a one-time thing.
Without even going to the investor again and again.
Right.
And the you're institutionalizing in a way that, you don't need to go to the customer again and again, but still you're creating that sustainable chain of, that sustainable flow.
Flow of donations every year, so that the Indian Cancer Society can go and create a properly structured program around how to use the funds. Yeah. They know how much money broadly. Being an FMP, they have a reasonable idea of how much money is going to come by way of donation, and then they can plan their program in the manner that the money gets utilized very well.
Did you at any point in time look at any international funds that may have been in this space? How did the idea of a mutual fund?
Quite honestly, we didn't look at anything which is outside our country. We basically looked at even the tax structure in which a mutual fund is created.
Okay.
And a mutual fund being a 1023D, mm-hmm. so the mutual fund is exempt from tax. So we also found that the mutual fund has the best attribute from a tax point of view to actually pool the money in a mutual fund.
Okay.
And then, subject to the dividend distribution tax or whatever that is applicable, the income can go to the as a donation.
Okay. How do you ensure that the money reaches the right person? I mean, who kind of vets the applications that I'm sure you must be getting through the Indian Cancer Society asking for donations?
Right.
So how do you map the two?
Right. So what the Indian Cancer Society has done, that it has got as a part of its program about 17 hospitals which are affiliated to the Indian Cancer Society, who are a part of this particular program. And applications are received from patients through all of these 17 hospitals. 17 hospitals. And
all over India.
All over the country. They are in different parts of the country. And we try to have a good geographical reach so that we are covering a good part of the country. And each of these applications is then scrutinized by what we call a due diligence team. And basically, the due diligence team is a team of oncologists and social workers who ensure that the application not only just is genuine, but has the appropriate attributes about fairness or appropriateness of the treatment and the appropriateness of the cost that is estimated to be spent on the entire treatment, not just the initial treatment.
Okay.
So there is a lot of thorough due diligence that the due diligence team does. And then each application is put up to a governing advisory council, and which is headed by Mrs. Usha Thorat, ex-deputy governor of RBI.
Yeah.
I'm also a member of that.
Okay.
So we see the applications which are recommended by the due diligence team and then finally approve it.
So due diligence team is something that HDFC and
The due diligence team is set up by the Indian Cancer Society, and it actually has oncologists from the in Mumbai, for example. They are from the Tata Memorial Hospital, and there are some social workers also on it.
Okay.
So they scrutinize each and every application to make sure that the cost that is claimed in each application is appropriate for the treatment that is being given for the ailment that is being treated. So it is important that we make sure that it is not because money is available that the charges are exorbitant. So there is a lot of sanitization being done, that the costs are uniform or the costs are broadly in line with amongst the lowest in the country. And that is how we are able to finance the people. There is also income criteria for the applicants. Some years back, initially, if I'm not wrong, 4 or 5 years, this was eligible for patients who had an annual income of 1 lakh.
Okay.
In the last 3 years, it has been increased to 2 lakh rupees.
Okay.
So basically the objective is that this financial aid reaches the absolute bottom of the society,
okay,
who have unfortunately been afflicted by this ailment.
Okay.
And I think, simply put, Kaiser, the combination of poor health and poverty can be very devastating.
Okay.
And this program is aimed at trying to sort of mitigate some of the hardships that these people do. They don't know where to get for money. They know they are unwell. They need a certain kind of money for treatment. That money should come through pretty sufficiently in time. So they must have certainty. So once a loan, once a financial aid is approved, even the patient is assured that the maximum that we give is about 4 lakhs. Usually it is adequate. Sometimes exceptions are made. So even the patient is assured that he has all the money that is required to fully complete the treatment. So that is how we ensure that not only the patient, not only that the money goes to the right person, so there is a W2 level check about before the money is disbursed. Also, it is important that the money is not given to the patient.
Okay.
It is always given to the hospital.
Okay. So one of those 17 hospitals.
One of those 17 hospitals, they get the money in their name.
Okay.
And then they, being aware that this money is made available to the hospital, they give the treatment to the patient.
Okay.
And so there's a very comprehensive set of procedures.
So there's a first set of checks and balances which happens when you get the application from 17 hospitals. And once you filter those applications, then the next level is the advisory committee, on which you said
Usha, finally approves,
headed by Usha Thorat, and you are also there.
Right.
And then finally you select the final application.
Applications are approved for the financial aid, and then the Indian Cancer Society actually disburses the money to the hospitals.
Okay, to the hospital.
Yeah, that's right.
Not to the patient directly.
Not to the patient.
So this is to ensure basically that, you know, it
so basically ensure that the hospital
reaches the treatment,
discharges the entire treatment to the patient that it requires to be done.
Okay. Is the money enough? You said it's about like...
By and large, the 4 lakh is adequate.
Yeah,
the 4 lakh is by and large adequate to take care of the treatment. Sometimes there is an exception made in some BMT cases like bone marrow transplant, and sometimes there's a request made for higher amount, which sometimes the committee does consider.
Okay. Did you have a hard time convincing clients or ordinary people to invest in the scheme? How was it like when you first thought? I mean, the idea is quite good, but mutual fund is normally a money-making investment for most investors. How did you...
Yeah, so initially it was strange for people to see me, visit them and talk about philanthropy as compared to markets. That was the first change that people... when I took appointments to meet senior people. But I think by and large people empathize, and the reality is that there is hardly a person who somewhere in the large universe of his friends and families has not been sort of touched by this disease. So I think there's a lot of empathy for what is being done. They get a lot of comfort from seeing a very well-structured fund product and an institution which is running the program, that gives them a lot of comfort.
Okay.
So the experience was actually quite good. Yes, you do come across sometimes people whom you meet who may not be able to spare the money that time. Some of them asked whether why is it not open-ended so that I can give you money 1 month later and so on and so forth. Because it's a closed-ended
fund.
It's open for a 15-day window and so on and so forth. But by and large, our experience, and that's true for the rest of the team that from my sales team who has been selling this fund so well, has been very positive.
Okay.
So every year we have done 3 rounds now. And every time we've gone out and raised a higher amount than the previous corpus.
And what kind of investors normally do you get to see in this kind of a fund? Like a retail investor or more HNIs or more CEO types?
It's a mix of everything. It's got institutional investors, there are corporates, there are banks, there are HNIs. And then there are some who invest the minimum amount, which was 50,000 rupees.
Minimum is 50,000.
Minimum is 50,000.
And you have two plans. You have one debt fund and you have one...
Yeah, so that arbitrage fund is a slightly more tax efficient, because after the dividend distribution tax was increased,
yeah,
we found that the total tax that you pay in an arbitrage fund is much lower.
Mm.
That's why we gave people an option to choose
either
the debt fund or the arbitrage.
Okay. So you invest in this fund for a period of 3 years.
Yes, that's right.
Right, whatever dividends that your fund gives out,
right,
then the investor has a choice to give away either 50% of the dividend or 100% of the dividend.
Right.
And at the end of 3 years, you get your principal back.
Absolutely.
So between 50% and 100%, what's your experience and observation been or learning?
I think
which one is more preferred by investors?
Between 60 to 70% of the people used to choose 100%, and some used to choose 50%.
Okay.
But which is fine by us, because
if
somebody wants to show some income coming back on the investment, and some they want to forego, then that's a choice they can.
Do
exercise.
You get company corporate clients also?
Yes, indeed, we do get corporate investments also.
Okay. What's been your biggest learning from this fund? Like, is it something more that you can do with it?
If you ask me, the biggest learning is that whatever you do is simply inadequate. Given the sheer scale of the challenge on health care that we see in the country, including cancer treatment, we think we are doing a fund and we've raised 77 crores and then 172 crores and then 302 crores. And this might appear 550 crores, but it is grossly inadequate.
Yeah.
So one thing that we learn is no matter how much we do, you're still scratching the surface.
Okay.
There's a lot more to be done. We want to expand the hospital network from 17 to 25, 30. If we are now trying to disburse more than 2.5 to 3 crores a month.
Okay. You've always been with 17 hospitals
right from the beginning? No. We started from 7, 8 and then every few months we keep adding one or two.
Okay.
We also have to make sure that when we add the hospital, the hospital adheres to the high standards, not just of the healthcare, but also of the cost standards that we expect them to charge patients. So some hospitals which might be good, but they charge very high rates, don't become eligible for this program. So that's another filter that we have.
Okay.
So the learning has been...
And this is something that you must have learned over...
We've learned over time. I don't want to take names, but there are some good hospitals doing good work, but their charges are high and poor patients cannot afford it. So then those are not really eligible to be part of this program. So we try to expand the list of hospitals affiliated. Every few months we try and add one or two hospitals. And more importantly, we try to go into areas where the good cancer hospital is not available. We go into where a good cancer hospital is there. So the idea is that what we see in cancer treatment, there is a lot of patients who move to the closest big hospital for treatment. So for example, the Tata Memorial in Bombay, you'll be surprised, gets patients from as long as even Orissa or from Hyderabad and so on and so forth. So the idea is that they should get treatment closer to where they are, where they live. And therefore, we should actually try to reduce the number of people coming just to Bombay. Or no, there is a Tata Memorial in Calcutta and there are many good hospitals which are different places. So the idea is that when we add hospitals, we try to increase the geographic reach of our program.
So Milind, how many till now, how many people approximately have you helped, and what's the amount of money that's gone from this fund towards this cause?
So as of now, we are now in the almost in the ninth year of this, the launch of the, since the launch of the first fund, and it has now benefited more than 7,000 patients all over the country, and the rate at which we are going, which is almost, we are helping close to about 400 plus patients every month are getting added to it every month. So it's the pace of the program is growing very well, and we are also spreading to new places in the country. As far as the money that we go, an important aspect of this whole program is that while one element is that the donation comes in the form of the return that the investor has earned, but to make it more effective, what we also do is that for every rupee that is generated as a donation from the return, HDFC AMC puts in an equal amount of matching amount as a donation from HDFC AMC's own balance sheet or profit and loss account, and we contribute that matching amount in addition to the donation. So what happens is that, for example, to give you some numbers, on an annual basis, about 14.5 to 15 crore has been the donation that gets generated from the fund. AMC
purely out of dividends.
Purely out of the dividends. The HDFC AMC matches the 14.5 or 15 crores by 15 crores of its own money. And actually the total money that goes to the Indian Cancer Society is almost 29 or 30 crores. So that doubles the impact of the money that comes in the investment. So totally so far, about 64 crores has gone in the form of donations. About 54 crores has been directly contributed by HDFC AMC.
This has been In this particular
over the period of eight years.
So if the dividends go up, for whatever reason, your contributions also
will also go up, because we will continue to match the. In fact, in some years, like the last year, we gave some additional amount apart from matching the amount of donation.
Milind, one thing I've always wondered, that you know, the fund is obviously with a good cause. Okay, it's, you've had long run with the fund and you're looking to continue with this fund. You know, when I look around elsewhere in the industry, there's only one fund. Why do you think we haven't seen many more funds like these elsewhere?
Actually, to be honest, I am myself surprised, because I remember telling the Indian Cancer Society that our industry is so competitive that when we launch a fund and when it becomes known, many more people will do funds, maybe with different causes. But I'm a little surprised also that it has unfortunately not happened. I'm sure maybe other fund houses are doing some philanthropy in different form. See, what we felt is that we are uniquely positioned because we have asset management skills. As you know, we do not charge asset management fees for this product. The entire product is run without zero cost.
Okay, absolutely zero. No
zero
manage,
cost.
No management
All the
fees.
Costs are borne by the asset management company. The R&T fees are not charged by.
No,
the,
so zero cost meaning there is no total expense.
There is
ratio.
No TER as
well.
Oh,
there is
no total expense ratio in the fund. We don't charge an asset management fee.
Okay.
Whatever actual costs are incurred are borne by the AMC.
Okay.
So that is, so we run, we don't, it's not meant to earn any money. So the idea is to keep the cost low. And the idea is to therefore see that the higher amount of dividend goes in the form of donation.
Okay.
So we are doing it with a certain objective, so we should be, we thought we should be 100% committed to that objective. So you know, for us, we began this journey at a time in around 2010-11. We thought about it in 2010, actually executed it in 2011. This was good 2-3 years before the law made it compulsory to spend 2% of your profits in CSR. So for us, it was not something about compliance with rules. It was more to do with wanting to do something that what can an asset management company do? So we have this great link between people who have money and a team of people who know how to manage money.
Correct.
So I think that is what we tried to put together to create it, to create a product for a good cause.
And for our listeners, how important, what would you say, how important is it important to think about philanthropy? Is it something that needs to come from within, or you know, you feel that you know you need to tell somebody, and this needs to be imbibed into people?
Yes, all the time for people who have money, it is our full-time business that when we go and talk, whether we talk to clients, whether we talk to distributors, we talk about asset classes like equity and debt and gold and what is right for you, and what should you do, and how much you must have in which type of asset class. But I think the most important asset class, which is a must-have in your portfolio, is philanthropy. And I think no matter how much money you have, you can almost have, you should certainly have at least some part of it, which is not meant to give you a return, but give somebody else
and
a
return. No matter how much you earn also.
And it doesn't matter how much you earn, because the minimum amount we expect in this is 50,000 rupees.
Yeah. And that's just one time.
It's and that is just one time and you get it back.
Yeah.
So you're not parting with 50,000. What you're doing is only foregoing the income on 50,000. So I think irrespective of the size of your portfolio, whether you are a corporate, a bank, or a HNI, or a small investor, you must have exposure of some kind, which, and there are so many advisors who will tell you contingency fund, this fund, that fund. But how about a fund in which you don't make any return, but the money goes for somebody else for a good cause?
Yeah.
I think it's a must have in your asset allocation.
Okay, Milind, thank you very much for your time and sharing us insights on your fund.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
And with that, we have reached the end of Season 3 of Simply Save Podcast. This season was brought to you by HDFC Mutual Fund. Remember, mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme-related documents carefully. Also, remember to start investing early. Do your SIPs diligently. No need for big sacrifices, but just keep your expenses in check and be a bit more disciplined with your money, because money is important. And don't forget to keep something away for the needy. If you have any queries, do write in to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. I repeat, it's mcpodcast@nw18.com. Keep listening to Money Control Podcasts, and for more news, views and updates, visit www.moneycontrol.com. And see you soon with yet another exciting season of Simply Save Podcast.